And in the 40 days, we're dealing with high height, which is a subset of beyond the limit. I started with you, starting with the life of Joseph. And we got to the chapter number 2 of the life of that young man. And I'd like us to just use the next 2 minutes to summarize what we didn't learn. And then we go to the chapter number 2 or 3. Next week, hopefully, we will continue. So once we read Genesis 37 from verse number 3, we're looking at some of the things in life that are likely to pull us down and to cause us to miss the path of greatness, and likely to push us from off course, and likely to just stampede us and block us from achieving what God wants us to achieve. So number 1, we said that Joseph started life in a crossfire. It was a crossfire. There was a domestic turbulence. Whereas in the verse number 3 of Genesis 37, the Bible said that Israel, that is Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his siblings because he had been born to him in his old age. In the verse number 4, the Bible says his brothers hated him. That's a crossfire. You are loved on one side, but you are hated on the other side. The paradox of life. But what actually added salt to injury was because Joseph had a gift. In the verse 5, the Bible says he had a dream. That young man had a receptacle of revelation inside of him. Anytime he went to bed, he was caught up in the heavens. He had a dream. The first dream he had, he saw barley, wheat. I went to the field with my brothers, and then whilst I was bundling my wheat with you, mine stood firm and yours fell before mine. So in the verse 5, he says, Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. So first was that he was hated because he was loved by the father and he had made a me'il, a special dress for him. And secondly, he was hated because he had a gift. But in the verse number 8, the boy will not stop dreaming. He had another dream. And when he told the dream to the father was even also disturbed. He said, his brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he said. Even his father, in the verse 9 to 11, the Bible says that he had another dream and he told it to his brothers. He said, listen, he said, I had another dream. Now, I love that phrase, another dream, because this is the dream that messed up everything. And I told you that in the first dream, the young man had a vision of things on air. It's about wheat, perhaps barley. These are things you grow. It's like a hay. It can be destroyed. You can burn it. It's chaff. So if you have a dream, seeing chaff, seeing wheat, seeing barley, seeing hay, I mean, these are things on earth. So the dreams were about things that are on earth. It's about wheat. Well, wheat is wheat. It's food. I don't care. But by the time he had the second vision or the second dream, Joseph's explanation was very disturbing. At least he hadn't explained, but the way the father understood the vision carried some disturbance. Listen to the vision. He said, I had another dream, and this time around, the sun and moon and 11 stars. Now, these are not things you see on earth. These are celestial bodies. The sun is in the heavens. The moon in the heavens. The sun in heaven. The stars in the heavens. He said, I saw them. What were they doing? He said, they were bowing down to me. When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had?" Then the father had his own interpretation of the dream. He said, "Will your mother and I, your brothers, actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in his mind. It contained and carried something bigger. This was something bigger than the father could handle. You know, last 2 weeks when I finished this message, one of my daughters, Nanama, he said, "Daddy, I see that the problem of Joseph's brothers was that they misrepresented themselves in the vision. Because in the vision, they themselves were described as stars." I thought that was a very interesting insight that Nanama got. They themselves were, a little scholar in town. Ah. Put your hands together for them. Yeah, we'll talk about that later on. They themselves were described as stars. Now listen carefully to this. If they understood that they were themselves stars, at least in the second vision, Joseph never describes himself as part of the celestial body. The only thing he says was that these celestial bodies were bowing to me. But they were described as stars. But because they misunderstood and they were so jealous, they were not very convinced and concerned about who they were and what they have. They were concerned about what the boy had. And sometimes you forget about what you have. One of the problems of us is that sometimes instead of focusing on the grace of God upon your life, you focus on what others have. But listen carefully. Everybody has his track to run, his race to make, his agenda to achieve, and a purpose to pursue. It's not about what others have. It's not about what he has for me. It's not about what they will do to me. It's about what he will do to me. What he will give to me. If the Lord be for us, who can be against us? I'd like you to focus on what God is giving you. Focus on the grace of God upon your life. Don't focus on what others have, on what others think. Your biggest problem is that you will remain a midget when you focus on what others have about your life. Because whatever man has about your life can only allow you to rise up to the level to where they are expecting you to be. But when you begin to focus on what God has for your life, the sky is not the limit. Something else is waiting for you. So the boy said, "I had another dream." Come on, say, "I have another dream." And then I ended on that and said that you don't have to keep old dreams. Old dreams are about wheat, barley, hay, rubble, things that die, things that can be burned. But Joseph said, "I'm not dreaming about the earth any longer. I'm dreaming about heavenly bodies. My dreams have moved from what I see on the ground and what I see around. I'm looking into the heavens." And there's a reason why you don't have to be bothered about what people think about you and what they make you feel. I don't care what people make you feel. Listen, if your feelings are determined by the reactions of men, you have no journey with the Lord. The boy said, "I didn't dream again about what is on the earth. I dreamt about what is in the heavens. This time I see the sun. This time I see the moon. This time I see 11 stars. And I told you that your dream must change. Stop seeing demons and stop seeing dwarfs. and stop seeing all kinds of horrible things. When you go to bed, don't dream about those things. Don't dream about somebody trying to mess you up and something is chasing me and cattle are chasing me and all kinds of bees are chasing me. I don't want to have the dreams. I want to have dreams where I'm in the company of angels, where angels are attending to me, where Jesus is talking to me about his purpose. I don't want to have a bad dream. I demand by the mandate of the Spirit of power, all nightmares are suspended in the name that is above every other name. Anybody with a nightmare, I am speaking to you. Your nightmare dies today. It's no longer going to be with you. Come on, say yes. Your nightmare dies. Don't dream bad dreams. Stop dreaming bad dreams. Man of God, I went to bed and I saw a man with two heads. John said, I, John, your brother, in the day of the Lord, I was on the island of Patmos. And I heard a sound that was like many waters. So I tend to look at the sound. You don't tend to look at sounds. You hear sounds. But by the time John says, I tend to look at the sound, he says that there is a personality behind the sound. And so he turned, and there he describes what he saw. He didn't see a demon. He didn't see a dwarf. He didn't see any evil. He said, I saw a man. His hair was as white as wool, and his eyes were blazing like fire. He said, his feet were like bronze put in a furnace. He said, out of his mouth was coming two edged sword. He said that he was wearing a dress that was like the sun dazzling in its strength. John said, when I saw him, I fell down as though dead, but he walked to me and placed his hand upon me and said, John, don't be afraid. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. I died, but I am alive. Rise and write. I decree to you, let your dreams change. Let your vision change. You Africans, you love demons so much. You celebrate demons so much and you pray against demons so much. I don't want to pray. I want to chant hallelujah. I don't want to pray against demons. I want to chant hallelujah. I want to worship him. I want to give him glory. Joseph said, I had another dream. Can I speak a prophecy to somebody? May your dream turn around again. Don't have such dreams and stop dreaming bad dreams. Have a new dream. Have a new way of looking at things. Let your mind change. Let your spirit change. Let your inner lenses, let them be reordered. I demand by the power of the Holy Ghost upon your head, in the name that is above every other name, you have another dream. And I want someone to stamp your feet and say, yeah! I don't know, sir. Listen, I'd like you to stand and let's do our declaration before I add something small. Nagalama suapele. Makayani motele parataya. Valia tanakoni masaya. Vadaluan porote. I hear. Quinala manosala iparadone. Ah. Ane shadahaisa. Mo la kona mandala liante nimi wadasala kapus. Dream again, dream again, dream again. Don't stop dreaming, but dream a better dream. Dream again, dream again. Listen, open your mouth and make the decree. Let's go. One, go. I was timid and consequently embraced the limit. In my efforts, I continuously faltered and fainted. But now I am persistent, for he is consistent. The barriers are defied, for with him I am unified. Afflicted from all crisis, yet alive with all of Christ. Not superhuman though, yet a receptacle of surpassing power. Therefore, I shall declare.
Let the new pillows become new pillows. The song.
Whoa, hold on.
Hold on.
Come on, say the new billows.
The new billows.
Let them become new pillows.
Let them become new pillows.
May you rest on your crisis. Oh, I hear a song. Amen, amen. Blessing and glory. We sometimes give it. Will carry you to the next stage. I demand by the authority of the word that storms in life will carry you. They will carry you with speed. They will carry you with power. They will carry you with ability. They will carry you with focus. They will carry you with speed. They will carry you with power. They will carry you with focus. Listen, may every billow become a new pillow. Rest on the storms. Can you imagine? Rest on the storm. I told you a revelation. I was in a city in Europe. In the night, whilst I was sleeping, a man came to me and said, let me show you the country. Now, which of you will be flying above the earth, not in an aircraft, and you're not, and still not scared, mama? You are not scared that you are flying above sea level, and you are not scared that you will fall. So I told the man, how do I go? He smiled. Then he hit my back. Pam! The next thing I saw was that I was levitating above sea level, and we could see the map, the entire towns in that European nation. I went through every border, tire. I moved around. Then we got to a place and I saw a very fat woman. I haven't seen such a beautiful person and being. So fat and very beautiful, well adorned with all kinds of pearls and jewelry. Then he said, this is the spirit of this nation. It's a very proud nation. It's the spirit that rules this nation. And then suddenly in the vision, I became aware that I am suspended. I'm levitating. I'm not in an aircraft. I'm suspended. And how can that be? Because I'm working in the company of a higher power. So I'm suspended. I'm suspended. I demand. Every storm may carry you, and it will carry you beyond your fears. Say, yeah.
Yes.
But listen to the second man. He said what? So let's start. Therefore, I shall declare. Let's go. Therefore,
I shall declare. Let the new billows become new pillows. The storm will no longer deform.
Every deforming storm,
yes, Lord,
will no longer deform.
Yes, Lord.
No. May the storm carry reparative powers. When they are meant to deform, may the storm carry reparative powers.
Yes, Lord.
May they carry restoring powers.
Yes, Lord.
What is meant to kill you will bring you life.
Hallelujah.
I demand by the word of God.
Come on,
Let's go. From the depths, I shall rise to the heights. Let's go.
From that failure,
I shall embrace a bright future. Let's go.
Let me be endued with power
for endurance. Let's go.
Let my neck break every yoke. And my hands win every battle.
Hey, let's go.
Lord, from a deep source, I saw about power, the sour experiences,
of life. Hey, hold on.
Hold on.
Lord, I believe.
Lord,
I believe that all things are possible. Last sentence before the amen. I'd like you to read that, the last sentence. Let's go. Lord,
from a deep source.
From which source?
A deep source.
No, I want to hear. From which source?
A deep source.
From which source?
A deep source.
From which source?
A deep source. I saw above.
You rise above. What?
The sour experiences of life.
So listen carefully. Traumatic experiences can be destiny devastating. I have met people who will tell me, I became worse when I was traumatized. People have just stayed at the same place because trauma immobilized them. Why did you fail to grow? Say, I was doing well until something happened to me. Dreams have been quashed. Greatness vanquished. Purpose thwarted. Lives destroyed. Because somebody allowed pain, traumatic experiences to stampede them and disallow them and took them off course. They could not pursue the agenda. One of the powers of the New Testament spirit is that we are more than conquerors. It elevates the believer beyond even conquering spirit. There is a higher dimension of grace that goes beyond any kind of trauma. And so if you are traumatized and you are sitting here, I decree upon you that that trauma is not enough to stop the will of God over your life. How can a young man be growing up from a home and the father is confused about him? And the siblings are confused about him. And to make matters worse, one day, the hatred was crystallized. The father called the young man and said, take bread to your brothers. Bring me news of how they were doing. That was a destiny-changing trip. The young man was never going to return to the father again until many years later. He took the things and got to the place. He went in Hebron. He got to Shechem. They were not there. Then he met a man, and the man said, I saw your brothers grazing here, but they have gone to Dothan. He moved to Dothan and met them. From Dothan, the next stop was that he found himself in a waterless cistern. The next stop was that he found himself bundled with spices because there were men who were passing by and they don't deal in slaves. These men buy, or at least even if they dealt in slaves, at that particular moment, they were carrying items, not human beings. But the brother said, let us make a profit out of our brother. They sold him. That was Judah. Judah said, let's make a profit. We can't let him die like that. After he's our brother. Let's sell him. So they sold the boy. I have preached a message titled, The Mare in the Caravan, if you recall. They took Joseph. And mama, what they carried was away. May, spices, you know, balm. These were spices. These were items of loads. No human being. But it's a prophetic revelation in these items. Joseph was the only young man being carried. But he was surrounded with spices. Now, if you recall, when Jesus died, the women went to go and preserve his body from decaying by the application of spices. I prophetically can see that when they bundled Joseph in the midst of the spices, they were preserving the vision. He was being carried to a place of unknown, but God was preserving the vision. The vision will not die. The dream will not die. The idea will not die. That thought you have will not die. The scripture says, write the vision and let he run with it. For although it tarries, the vision can speak because you are bundled in spices. And so I speak upon your life. May somebody's vision be preserved. Joseph's vision will not die. He was carried by spices. So they carried him unto Egypt. He found himself in a house of Potiphar. And then he began serving Potiphar. He had some respite. At least several times in chapter 39. I'll read examples for you. In chapter 39 verse 4, 3 and 4. The Bible says that's like a respite. God will give you rest from all the struggles. There is a season where God gives rest. Come on, say rest. I can't hear. Come on, say rest. How many of you want rest from the struggles? I can't see your hand. Do you want rest from your struggles? There is a time when God gives rest. Rest from all your struggles. The Bible said, and the Lord gave David rest from all the battles. So there is a season like that. There is a respite. There is a rest. In the verses 3 and 5 of Genesis 39, listen carefully to that. He says, when his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did. Do you see that? Everything he did, there was success. That may appear that I have reached the destination. That's not the destination. Certain successes in your life are not the final destination. They are to tell you that you are on course. God will bring some successes your way so that you don't get fainted. You don't get overweight because you cannot carry too much. So sometimes he will throw in a scene and grant you testimonies and grant you grace so that you can master some courage and move ahead. But when those successes come, they are not the final destination. There is the final destination that the man wants you to be there. Have you bought a car? Yes. Who told you your life is about a car? Have you built a house? Yes. Who told you your life is about building a house? Have you completed masters? Yes. Who said that masters is the final destination? Are you a professor? Yes. Who told you being a professor is the final destination? Who told you that? Who told you that? Are you a manager? Yes, a manager? Yes. But who told you that is the final destination? No. No. That is not it. The final destination rests with the Lord. And he knows where he's taking you to. But he will give you vestiges of rest so that you can rest along the way and you don't break your neck. Some things are painful, but along the way, he will nourish you. He will anoint your body with the balsam of Gilead. He will anoint your head with oil so that your cup will run over. You will run over your enemies. You will run through the troops. You will scale up the wall. But God is telling you that is not the end. David killed Goliath, but killing Goliath was just a means to the end. Your Goliath can fall, but that is not the end. You are about to become a king. God is not interested in just you killing Goliath. And so if you haven't killed your Goliath, may I submit to you, your stone is coming to you. You are about to kill the Goliath, but that is not the end. You are about to move to the next level. And some of us will retire when the Goliath is dead. And when the women begin to sing the songs for us, and they say Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000, and they say, I have reached. You haven't reached anywhere. There's a higher call. There is a higher order. There is a higher place. Somebody scream and say, yeah. There is a higher call. I know. Come on, speak tongues for just a minute if you know how to speak it. If you are baptized, open your mouth, speak tongues. Come on, come on, come on. Chant in the spirit. Kata sili kaposh. Namini ikolaha. I hear angels speaking. Open your mouth. Rossi ikimanu tapolahaka. Lali poli genekoya sa. Rapalusa botineletene. Open your mouth.
Ye get the gun doruembe katuembe rakuntulko uapaya
repaparuapa. Look at me. Don't stop at the successes that come your way. Man of God, I got a job. I got a job. Hallelujah. The job is a means to an end. The young man who gave a testimony here, now you have completed your first degree, is a means to an end. You haven't yet gotten anywhere. You are taking one step and another step and another step. Listen, he said, Christ in us is the hope of glory. So the destination is glory focused. It is not job focused. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Are you here? Are you here? Oh, are you here? No, 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 no. Are you here? He says, Christ in us is a hope. Now, if you don't understand hope, hope is a future anticipation of something that is good to be revealed. That is hope. And he says, when Christ is in you, your final destination is called glory. It's the doxa. It's the glory. It's the kabod. There is a place of glory ahead of you. So don't settle for anything. I demand in the name of Jesus, there is a glory ahead. And if you believe it, somebody lift up your two hands. There is a glory ahead. There is a glory ahead. That is why you don't have to cry now. And if you are crying now, wipe your tears. Daughter of Zion, wipe your tears. Son of Zion, wipe your tears. Because Christ in you is the hope of glory. You are looking up to a place, ayayaya, a city whose maker is the Lord. Listen, listen. You know why Abraham, mama, will not fight with Lot to get the best of the land? You know why? Nafakaya. Kadima roskie peletosh. If Abraham knew how to speak in tongues at the time, when Lot looked at the best side of the land and he took the most watered and the better place of the land, maybe Abraham would look at Lot and say, Kamaruskiye venushkaya. Because Abraham was not looking for a city whose maker and builder is the Lord. He was looking for a higher thing. That place was not his destination. And so perhaps he would look at the young man and say, Lord, kadayama noskaleme, ayana moshkalabiriantene, I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is the Lord. You can take all that you have. You see, sometimes in life, tell people who are competing with you, let them have the way. Because they are running with their own breath. But you will run with the breath of the Almighty. They can have the speed. Let them go ahead. They overtake you. They knock you. And they stand in between you and the purpose. Don't worry at all. You know very well. And you know that you know, solo. That you know, that you know, that you know. You know a deep thing in your heart. That there is a purpose that lies ahead. You are not bothered about how you feel now. You know that you know that you know. And so Joseph has some success. Every success in this room, I love it. I love the success. But I'm telling you, a higher height, that is not the end. El walk, where God walks and works. I'm telling you, we have done some things in the past. But I see with the eye of the eagle, I see in the realms of the spirit, something lies ahead. Something higher lies ahead. I release upon you in the name of Jesus, the man and the force that is about to be unleashed. I decree that let chickens become eagles. I decree that let chickens begin to fly. I decree that let pussycat become lions. I decree that let God become dears. I decree men who can run and they have no energy receive the powers that take you to the next level. The successes you are talking now. How much did you earn? Man of God, I got 100,000. What is 100,000 when there is a 1 million ahead? What did you get? Man of God, I got one child. What is one child when there are triplets ahead? What did you get? Man of God, I got the first stage. Why are you worried about the first stage? Somebody is trying to stop you at the first stage and you are so worried. I don't care about the first stage. If you know that there is class 6 and class 6 is what you are getting to, when they are stopping you at class 1, you are not bothered at all because you know that you are going to be meddling in the realms of the spirit with the sun, with the moon, and with 11 stars. If they challenge you that you are the vision of seeing the wheat and the wheat is falling down and they are bowing to your wheat and they are angry at you, you are not worried because even the moon and even the sun and 11 stars are about to bow down. Why am I bothered? You know, sometimes some of you are standing here and you get so worried. Your emotions are warped up. Your emotions are thwarted. Somebody's making a mess of you. And because of that, you don't want to come to church. I will not give offering again. I won't pay tithe again. I don't see what you are doing. You are a midget. You are not an eagle. You can't see into the future. But I see eagles here. I see eagles. I see eagles. They are looking into the future. Something lies ahead. They will not be disturbed. They will not be bothered. They will not be worried. If you kick them down, 7 times they will fall, but 7 times they will rise again. They are unkillable. They are indestructible. The Bible says, therefore regard we no man after the flesh, for even a man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are gone. Behold, all things have become new. Can I speak over somebody? You are coming from a family of questions, a background of worry. You have had a very turbulent background. Life has not treated you fairly. Hey, I don't need life to treat me fairly. When there is a master that treats me better. What did I hear? I heard somebody say, life is not fair. I don't care. I don't need life to be fair. No. You know why? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie be. He said, yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy staff and thy rod, they comfort me. You lead me beside still waters. Listen, when the Lord leads you, you will not be misled. Where are you now? Professor Bowley, I speak a word over your life. You are about to see something else. Something mighty will come upon your life. You are in the midst of a transition. Listen, I hear some sounds, and I know that men and women here, you are in transition. Joseph, the house of Potiphar was a transition. It was a place to move the boy from one place to the other. And many of you will retire at the place of transition. You don't retire at the place of transition. Transition is a place to give you respite. Rest a little bit. Build your muscle. Joseph is about to be changed from being a visionist and somebody who dreams. By the time he got to the prison and by the time he met Pharaoh, Papa, the guy has moved away from just a dreamer to an interpreter of dreams. He has moved. It's a transition. I demand upon your life, you cannot rest at the place of transition. Can somebody stamp your feet and clap your hands and scream and give him the glory? Listen. Look at the person stand or sit by you and ask the person, where are you in your walk with the Lord? Please take your seat. Ask. Say, where are you in your walk with the Lord? Then tell the person, please, let me welcome you to the next stage. Do that. Say, I'm welcoming you to the next stage. Because, man of God, for a moment, Joseph felt, eventually, the battle is over. Joseph felt in the house of Potiphar. Ah, because it was so good that the Bible said, Potiphar did a handing over ceremony. He handed over everything he had in the house to the young man. Now listen carefully. If you work for a manager, a manageress, a proprietor, a founder of a company, then he comes to you and say, where I have gotten to, I want to take a backstage. Now, take the rest. I'd like you to just imagine what that means to you. You may say, that the promises have come to pass. So maybe Joseph sang that song, the promises. But no, that was a transition. Every success you are having now, treat it as part of the processes for the redemptive agenda. I said, treat it as part of the processes for the redemptive agenda. So the young man was settling, everything was fine. Then there was a storm. And I will take you to the next level, the next chapter, next week. The storm. But the storm will be over. I said the storm will be over. We will learn how to handle the storm when the storm comes next week. The young man was carried by the storm because he thought that was the last. No! Let me tell you. That is why we read that particular phrase over and over. Let every billow become a new pillow. The storm carried him. A woman set up and said, this was the finest blackmail in human history. In fact, one of the finest. And Potiphar didn't waste time at all. The woman told this Hebrew guy you brought here is a mess. Prison. And I want you to just picture it. You know, sometimes when we are reading the Bible, we forget to piece some things together. I want you to see somebody who was doing so well. Salary was flowing. Promotion kept coming. Now he's in charge of the house. Everything, he was in charge. In fact, he told Potiphar's wife, everything in this house is under me except you. That is how powerful the thing has become. And now let me give you this 1 minute and then we go. Now pay attention to this. Pay attention carefully. Pay attention. Stop chatting and look at me. Pay attention. Listen carefully. Do you know? Now, when Joseph lost the serenity of his father's house, the only house he got was this house. Now, this house was in sharp contradistinction to his father's house. In his father's house, they hated him. They hated him the more. The father was confused about him. In fact, they sold him. in the house of Potiphar. He was promoted and then promoted until he took charge. He lost his father's house, but he gained another house. Now look at this sharp distinction and how this will process psychologically in this young man a certain sense that finally the battle has ended. And then when he was not expecting anything, a storm carried him again. You know why? Some storms are coming in your life. They are not devilish. No. Listen to me. It's a prophecy. They are not demonically orchestrated. The storms, they are instrument of divine arrangement and structure. They will carry you from where you are because you are becoming too comfortable. When the divine agenda is to get you to a place, God will do anything to carry you. And I demand in the name of Jesus, every pillar that comes your way is carrying you to the next level. Joseph said, what? And I believe he'll go to God and say, what did I do wrong? I thought that I'm working with you. I will show you next week how to handle the transition stage. How to handle yourself when the billows come. How to handle yourself in the transition. When everything appears very quiet, nobody's bothering you, nobody's helping you, people are bothering left and right, you are so confused, this one does this, and there are series of challenges. I have gone through such moments when series, it's like a barrage of bullets, one bullet to the other, like Job. It was just one news to the other. But Job had no idea that something was coming to him. That is why he said in Job 19:25, I know my Redeemer liveth. And in the end, come and say in the end, all that we are doing, we are still in the process of the story. Come and say in the end. He said in the end, he will stand upon the earth. Lift up your hands. Peace, perfect peace. In this dark world of sin. As your hands are up, please give me a microphone for Apostle. I'd like Apostle to just pray for us. Pray over the message and pray that the power of the Lord will begin to work in us to take us beyond some limits in life.
Glory, 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 glory. We want to thank you, Almighty God. Whenever we gather in your presence, it is for a purpose. From your word this morning, we can conclude that a purpose has been accomplished in the name of Jesus. We thank you for dreams that you give us. We pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, as we transition, we will not be complacent because we know that you have a place for us. Thank you this morning, oh God, for removing doubts, for putting us on course, and giving and showing us directions that you, God, value us. 1 Peter 2:9 says, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. Lord, help us to remove every limitation